KFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Shea Spillane is on vacation. She is enjoying the Big Apple, New York City. The Big Grift, whatever you want to call it. I'm giving you the phone number and telling you once again, please don't use it. 855-915-9636. Emergencies only, please, if you're going to call in tonight. Because, once again, we are going to discover that Derek cannot type and talk at the same time. I like to think I'm a man of many skills and capabilities. Typing and talking is one that I have yet to master. But it is 855-915-9636. If you really must call in, I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. But coming up tonight, all the usual nonsense that you've come to expect from this program. We got a couple of sort of big, important, unpleasant stories that we have to get to tonight. And a lot of more pleasant, fun stuff that we'll be talking about as well. If you have seen spring, please let me know. There doesn't seem to be any around here. They are pitching tents all over town. You cannot walk around a corner of this campus without finding someone who's pitching a tent. It is Chris Earl is pitching a tent. Everybody's pitching a tent. It is graduation weekend here at Tufts University. For those of you who know the area, that means don't come over here. For those of you who don't know the area, that means don't come over here. For those of you who know the area and are determined to come over here anyway, please, please, please keep in mind that the ongoing closure of the bridge over there on Broadway is adding to the mayhem. So it's going to be a fun few days around here. You can come over and see everyone pitching the tents. You can come over and see the people graduate. You might, I'm not even going to tell you to take public transportation because the buses aren't moving either. It's quiet now, but the madness is about to begin. Congratulations to the class of 2019 here at Tufts University. All the best in the future. We will miss you if you have been part of our WMFO family. We hope you come back and say hi. Normally, this would be the week of the year when I play some graduation advice in audio form. We're going to have to postpone that for a week because of some things that happened, but we will get around to that next week. So, congratulations to the grads. On to the fun. Thanksgiving may be 6 months away, but the turkeys are already in the news. And by the way, I brought this point up a few weeks ago about the ad blockers. And I noted that certain websites would no longer be mentioned on this program because they were fighting back against ad blockers by telling people, you can't look at our content unless you turn off your ad blocker. And I said that the response to that is to hit the back button and not go to those websites anymore. Because the reason you need the ad blocker in the first place is because all of the advertising on the website will crash your computer. And if breaking people's computers is your business model, that's not a good business model, and maybe I shouldn't trust your journalism. Well, as it turns out, your eyeballs apparently are more valuable than advertising clicks because that wave of websites that all at once were telling people, turn off your ad blocker or go away, has become smaller. The Boston Herald is still doing this, and the Boston Herald is still on the no-go list for The Big Picture. Should be on your no-go list as well. If they won't let you come to the site without an ad blocker, don't go to the site. It's that simple, because if you turn your ad blocker off, it's going to crash your computer, it's going to crash your phone, you're going to get stuck with all this stupid advertising bouncing around all over the place. You don't want that. You just want news. The great thing about news is you can get it from a lot of different sources. And these websites, these news organizations, need to understand that lesson. Once they understand that lesson, we're all good. We'll come back. The Gannett Corporation has backed off on this in a big way. You can now access all of their content again. They're still going to give you the pop-up telling you to turn off your ad blocker, but they're not going to block you from actually seeing their content. So you will see some sites that were on the banned list back on. This one never was. This is CBS Boston. Boston CBS Local. They change the name of this site every 6 weeks, it seems, but this is CBS Boston. Extremely scary. That's in quotes. So that means it's really extremely scary. Jamaica Plain residents fearful of aggressive turkeys. Jamaica Plain residents fearful of aggressive turkeys. Sometimes nature can get a little too close for comfort, and sometimes that's due to wild turkeys. We saw a tweet Monday about just that from someone who lives in the Moss Hill section of Jamaica Plain. She complained about aggressive turkeys pecking at people out walking. We checked it out and found out she's not alone. Quote, "It's extremely scary. It's frightening. If you're walking, they come up extremely, extremely close to you, and they come forward like they're going to bite you," says Kathy Milmo, who lives in the neighborhood. "There are three wild turkeys that are causing problems for some neighbors in the Moss Hill area. It wasn't that hard to find people who have had a run-in with aggressive turkeys." Quote, "The one incident I had was with my mailman. I heard a lot of commotion. I looked outside and they had him cornered across the street and he moved in a direction and they were pecking," says Dorothy Sergi, who was out walking her dog. Quote, "Just in front of my house, my husband has gone out maybe four or five times with the rake and the broom to keep them away from various people," adds Kathy Milmo. "We spoke to Boston Animal Control, and they say they usually don't deal with wild animals, but the state has given them permission to capture the troublesome turkeys in this neighborhood. But so far, they have failed." Those wily, wily turkeys. "It's just gotten to be terrible that I'm fearful to go walking with my grandchild in the stroller. I'm actually fearful to go walking on my own," Kathy says. "Wild animals are usually under the jurisdiction of the State Wildlife Agency. We reached out to that department, but they didn't respond." You know, what we need is the turkey equivalent of Quint from the Jaws movie, who will come in and, you know, capture the bad turkeys in exchange for $10,000 in a case of Narragansett. I'm sure that that person exists somewhere in the Jamaica Plain area. But, you know, keep an eye out for this. These are wild animals, and we forget when we see these things walking around our neighborhoods, you know, whether it's coyotes or turkeys, there's a bear roaming around up in Chelmsford right now. These are wild animals. And just because they're in your backyard doesn't mean that you want to go anywhere near them. It is generally a good advice to stay away from the wildlife. This is some particularly aggressive wildlife. I don't know what's got these turkeys all hopped up. Turkeys are, in general, one of the more aggressive wild animals you're going to come across. The Canada geese, as ubiquitous as they are, will only give you a problem if they have goslings around. And it is that time of year for the Canada geese. I saw some brand new geese floating in a pond yesterday. If there are goslings around, do not approach the Canada geese. The rest of the time, you can walk right by them and they're just going to look at you and be like, yeah, whatever. The turkeys will actually stand their ground against you and they will confront you. I had to get a turkey off the roof of my car a few years back and the turkey really was not having it. And that is a large and intimidating bird and they can hurt you. They will peck you, they will claw you, and they can hurt you. So if you see the turkeys, let the turkeys do what they're going to do. You can honk your car horn at them for all they care. They'll just keep wandering across the street the way that they like to do. And if you're in the Jamaica Plain area and you see these rogue fowl, you might want to call animal control and let them know that the turkeys are on the loose. Nobody wants to have a run-in with a turkey. Not at this time of year. In other local news, Westport has a little bit of a problem. And I am going to go out on a limb, and I am going to assume that Westport is not the only community that has this problem. Westport is one of the many beachfront communities here in Massachusetts. And they had a town meeting. This is from SouthCoastToday.com. Along with approving a recall initiative, passing a record-high operating budget, and saying no to craft cannabis co-ops, they're just no fun in Westport. Annual town meeting last week made moves to promote the town's picturesque qualities. Town meeting approved a bylaw that will fine those who steal beach rocks and vegetation from town beaches as well as an update to the town's solar bylaw. Now, the solar thing is like, oh my God, the solar panels are destroying the quaint, picturesque charm of Westport. Please hide them. But that's not what we're here for. Beach Committee members Sean Leach drew some comedic moments in town meeting floor when he displayed pictures of people taking beach rocks and also went over some of the excuses for why people are taking rocks, especially from the rocky East Beach. Leach said this new bylaw will fine people $250 if caught taking vegetation and rocks from town beaches. He said signs, cameras, and police patrols will be used to enforce it. Leach said excuses ran the gamut from those that claim buying rocks are too expensive, they are local, to material needed for a child science project. Leach said winter berries and other vegetation are also taken and become staples of Christmas decor. Leach said this new bylaw is not designed to punish youngsters who take a souvenir shell or two, but it is designed to stop landscapers and cheap homeowners from taking truckloads of rocks as part of a cost-cutting landscaping project. Quote, when I see landscapers filling up the back of dump trucks, it gets a little disturbing what is going on. It has almost gotten completely out of control, Leach said to town meeting voters. So this is what you got going on in Westport. Truck guy pulls up, drops the gate, starts hucking beach rocks into the back of the truck, and then goes away and landscapes with them. Or a local homeowner comes down, they're like, I'd like to have some beach rocks in my yard. Starts walking away with buckets full of beach rocks. The damage that this does is the beach rocks help to control erosion. The beach rocks help to keep the beach there. So everybody coming down and helping themselves to free beach rocks is actually harming the beach, harming the ecosystem, harming the community. The vegetation thing in the wintertime, yeah, I'm a little hit or miss on that. Most towns, if you're on town property and you see some vegetation that you like, you can help yourself to it. I don't know that there's any real danger being done there. Yes, the vegetation plays a role in preserving the beach, but, you know, if it's December, the stuff's just going to dry up, die, blow away. It's not doing that much. And I think it's really more of a case of the town of Weston basically saying, if you come to the beach, leave the beach alone. Leave more on the beach than what you came with. No, that's not right. Because then you're littering. You don't want to do that. But this is not unique to them. This is going on all over the place where people are just like, oh, you know what? There's rocks over there. I'll take those. I can remember many years ago in my hometown of Melrose, there was a street project. And they tore up and repaved Franklin Street, which if you live in that area, you know Franklin Street is the main connector between Melrose Square and Stoneham Square. Everybody drives 50 miles an hour on it. So they tore up the old pavement, and underneath the pavement were the old trolley tracks that used to connect Melrose Square to Stoneham Square. And all around those trolley tracks, there were cobblestones. Cobblestones are hugely, hugely coveted by landscapers and developers. And this was, I think, 1985, 1986. And the town didn't have any use for them. So they just put them out there. They left big piles of them around. And over the course of a weekend, all of these pickup trucks showed up and all of the cobblestones disappeared. It took maybe a week and a half for all of those cobblestones to just disappear. Because people see them and they're like, well, there's a big pile of them over there. And the city of Melrose didn't care. You know, they were like, we're going to have to pay to truck them out of here. If you want the cobblestones, come get them. As soon as you say that, boom, everybody swarms in. The beach rocks is a different situation because the town wants them there. The town is saying, hey, hang on a second. We like our beach rocks because our beach rocks keep our beach from disappearing. And when the beach disappears, then the water winds up in people's homes, and that's not good for anyone. So please, please leave the beach rocks alone. You may want to have a chat with your contractor, is what I'm saying. Ask them where the beach rocks came from. You know, did you get these at Home Depot? Did you just go down to Singing Sands and help yourself to big piles of beach rocks? And the homeowners who are doing this, come on. You know, just because you live in town doesn't mean that you can go load up the back of your truck with the town beach and spread it across your front yard. Excuse me. And spread it across your front yard. That's not how any of this works. So I expect you are going to see more rules like this. If you are inclined to steal beach rocks, don't do it in Weston, but do it soon. Because there is a very good chance that the community you are thinking of stealing those beach rocks from is going to pass a rule saying you are going to get fined if you take the beach rocks. By the way, I did not work out the math on this. As far as the cost of stealing beach rocks versus buying them at Home Depot, it may be, because I don't know how well they thought this out, it may be that it's cheaper to load up your pickup truck with beach rocks from Weston than it is to go get them at Home Depot. I'm guessing the answer to that is no. I'm not going to try that. I do suggest that you stop taking Weston's beach rocks because they clearly are attached to them and would like them to remain on the beach. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight on The Town with Mikey D. We'll be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene in somewhat local, somewhat national news. USA Today. I mentioned the ad blockers. I mentioned the sites that have released or relaxed the restrictions on the ad blockers. Welcome back to USA Today and the Gannett News Corporation here on The Big Picture. It is nice to have you back again. Most of your journalism on USA Today is not good. But you guys kind of hit this one. So, actress Felicity Huffman, you might know her from Desperate Housewives or the Varsity Blues college entrance exam scandal. Actress Felicity Huffman fought back tears as she pleaded guilty in Boston federal court Monday afternoon to charges in the nation's largest college admissions scandal, becoming the highest profile defendant to admit to crimes in the blockbuster case. The former Desperate Housewives actress admitted to conspiracy to commit mail fraud and honest services mail fraud for paying Rick Singer. That's William Rick Singer, by the way. Never trust a guy named William who goes by the nickname of Rick. The Nationwide scheme's alleged mastermind, William Rick Singer, $15,000 to have someone correct SAT answers for her oldest daughter. As part of a plea deal, now this is where this gets interesting. As part of a plea deal, federal prosecutors recommended Huffman receive a four-month prison term, substantially lower than the maximum 20 years the charges carry. A sentencing hearing for the star was set for September 13th. Huffman stood and raised her right hand in the courtroom, replying, "Yes, Your Honor," when asked by U.S. District Court Judge Indira Talwani if she understood the terms of her plea deal. The judge accepted the agreement after going over its ramifications, reminding Huffman that she would waive her right to a trial by jury, the ability to appeal the judge's decision, and other rights such as possessing a firearm. I don't know that Felicity Huffman was looking to possess a firearm, but if you see her with a gun, she's breaking the law. Huffman, 56, became emotional immediately before her guilty plea when discussing how her daughter has seen a neuropsychiatrist since the age of 11. She said issues related to her therapy explained why her daughter needed an extra day to take the SAT. Some parents in the sweeping admissions case have been accused of having their children fake disabilities to get approved for extra test time to facilitate cheating. Quote, and this is in the courtroom, "I just didn't want to create the impression that the neuropsychiatrist had anything to do with this," Huffman said, struggling to finish her sentence. She said that just like her daughter, the neuropsychiatrist had no knowledge of her involvement. One of her attorneys, Martin Murphy, put his arm around Huffman to console her. Now, Felicity Huffman has made the case that the reason she did this is because her daughter has a learning disability, and that she always got extra time for tests, and that she was concerned about her daughter's ability to get a good score on the SAT. So William Rick Singer comes along and says, "Hey, give me some money. I'll get you those test scores that you want. What's interesting about this, what's really interesting about this, is the fact that they are going after Felicity Huffman. Because from the very beginning, Felicity Huffman has been probably the most cooperative of the people charged. They have recordings of everyone talking to William Rick Singer, which is how they know who did what. And is also why Felicity Huffman's husband, William H. Macy, was not charged in this, was not indicted. Felicity Huffman did this entirely on her own. That has been established. This was her choice. She paid the $15,000 because she was concerned about her daughter's ability to get a college entrance score on the SAT. Her daughter didn't know about this. Her husband didn't know about this. She's in court now saying the child's neuropsychologist didn't know it. No one knew about this except for Felicity Huffman. And the way that this particular scam worked, she pays the $15,000. Her daughter gets an extra day to take the test. After her daughter hands the test in, a proctor, one of the people who is giving the exam, reviews the answers and corrects them, and then submits a corrected version of the exam, allowing Felicity Huffman's daughter to get a better score than she otherwise may have received. We don't know how many answers were corrected. We don't know if any answers were corrected. We know that Felicity Huffman paid $15,000 to bribe a test administrator to review her daughter's work. Where this gets interesting is the fact that they are talking about jail time. When this case broke a couple of months ago, and we were having a hearty laugh about it, because this is one of those first world problems, it is to laugh kind of situations. My conclusion, my prediction, was that nobody was going to go to jail on this. None of the wealthy people who had paid the bribes were going to go to jail for this. The guy, William Rick Singer, who put together this and several other forms of college entrance fraud, probably is going to go to jail. I don't know. He was wearing a wire. He had his phones tapped. He's singing like a canary. He's doing everything that he can to stay out of jail. And as the cooperating witness, he may be looking at, you know, a drastically reduced sentence, if at all. I expected the people who took the bribes would go to jail, because that's usually what happens. When you have a bribery case, the people who pay the bribes aren't the ones who go to jail. It's the people who take the bribes. Because the people who pay the bribes are generally seen by the courts as victims of a scam. They want something. You know, most bribes usually involve government officials or people who have access to something. Someone will bribe a congressman to get legislation passed. Someone will bribe a local city councilor to get a building development approved. There was a case nearby where tow companies were kicking back to the mayor of a local city. Those are the and in exchange they were getting city contracts, but more to the point, they were being allowed to operate in the city because the police could have easily funneled business to somebody else. So there are a lot of different situations where, you know, you can dip your beak in. And it's the people who are dipping their beaks in, who are trying to enrich themselves off the books by virtue of their position, who go to jail. The people who pay the bribes usually lose their money and have to go home. Sometimes they get fined. This is a little bit unprecedented. Because even though Felicity Huffman has entered this guilty plea and taken this deal where prosecutors are recommending 4 months, the judge is not bound to abide by that. The judge could still throw Felicity Huffman in jail for 20 years. The judge could come back and say, 4 months, fine, you're going to jail for 4 months. But even that would be highly, highly unusual. People who pay bribes don't go to jail. Now, the argument that you could make here is that this is a conspiracy. And the only reason that this conspiracy exists is because William Rick Singer was able to find people who were willing to take advantages of his services. Okay, that if nobody was willing to bribe their kids' way into college, then a William Rick Singer would never exist. And we talked at length about the other form of bribery that exists if you want your kid to go to college. The existence of the Trump Library on Fordham's campus, Rose Hill campus in the Bronx, that enabled Donald Trump Jr. to get a Fordham degree. That is a different situation. Okay, if you have enough money that you can give a university a building and your ask is admit my child, I have no problem with that. I'm fine with that because the building, the library in this case, is going to benefit generations of Fordham University students. And the only real cost to the university is you got to put up with one kid for 4 years. You're fine. I have no issues with this at all. If you have that kind of money and you want to buy your kids' way into Harvard, you want to buy your kids' way into Fordham, you want to buy your kids' way into Georgetown, go for it. Build a dorm. Put up a science building. Build an entertainment pavilion. Whatever the heck they ask for. Give it to them. Get your kid the degree. No SAT is required. I don't have a problem with this. Because the net good that comes from that far outweighs the fact that you bribed your kid's way into school. And it's one kid. Now, this was a bunch of kids at a bunch of different schools. And yes, the charges here are legitimate. You know, Felicity Huffman committed mail fraud. Felicity Huffman committed honest services fraud. Those are actual laws. And there are actual penalties that go along with that. And at some point, somebody either told Felicity Huffman about Rick Singer, or she went looking for someone like Rick Singer to help her daughter get into college. So she is an active participant in this. She's not a developer who's just trying to get a project done. And then, you know, some city councilor walks in and is like, well, you know, I could vote for this or I couldn't vote for this, and I'm going to need a few thousand reasons why I should vote for this. You know, it's not like the Mass Gaming Commission shaking down Wynn and saying, hey, give us $30 million or we're going to hold up your license. That's what's the word I'm looking for? Sanctified. That's codified bribery right there. That's legit bribery, what the Gaming Commission did. What Felicity Huffman did was illegal. What Felicity Huffman did is perfectly understandable if you were a parent and you have a child who you want to go to college, who may struggle to get into a college, to get into a good school. She's owned up to it. Okay, she's out the $15,000. Her daughter is now out of that college, as far as I know. Most of the colleges kicked out the kids who were involved in these things. In ordinary circumstances, in most bribery cases, that would be enough. That'd be it. Okay? You paid your money. You didn't get your service. You're done. I expected that this was going to be a name and shame operation where the federal prosecutors, they were going to throw the coaches in jail that took the bribes and passed these kids off as student athletes when they weren't. I expected the test proctors were going to go to jail for doctoring exam results in exchange for money, because that is, you know, that is receipt of illicit money. And I'm going to go way out on a limb and say none of that money was ever claimed in income taxes. So if you're taking that kind of bribe money, you got a whole bunch of different federal agencies that are going to take an interest in what you're doing. As far as the parents are concerned, I expected this was going to be a name and shame. We're going to fine you. You're going to get all the public blowback that goes along with this, and that's going to be the end of it. I did not expect jail time. Jail time moves this into a whole different category. And the question has to be why? Why is Felicity Huffman looking at jail time for paying somebody to doctor her kids' SAT scores? Yes, because she committed a crime. But as I've explained, people who pay bribes don't go to jail. people who take bribes go to jail. So there is something else at work here. And that something else at work is graduation weekend here at Tufts University, isn't it? That something else that is at work here is the sanctity of the U.S. college industrial complex. That is what this is about. This isn't even about the sanctity of the SAT, because nobody cares about them. This is about the sanctity of our colleges and universities. And this idea that only the best and brightest, only the elitist of the elite, only the most shining minds of their generations shall be allowed to enter the hallowed halls of our universities. There shall be no hanky-panky. There shall be no bribing your way in. There shall be no doctored test scores. There shall be no passing thine child off as a student-athlete when thine child cannot even do a single push-up. No. Nay. Our university system is sacred and the key to success in the United States of America is being a part of that university system. Its virtue must be defended. And this is where we have gone off the rails in this country. Because that is what this is about. They're going to throw Felicity Huffman in jail. Maybe. We find out in September. Because she challenged the virtue of our university system. She had the gall to recognize, hey, you know what? You can buy your way into this thing. She didn't have the kind of money that it takes to do what Donald Trump did. She doesn't have, I'm going to put up a building money. But she has, I can bribe a test official money. And in most other areas of law and justice and law enforcement, people who pay bribes don't go to jail. The plea deal shouldn't even include jail time. She gets a year of probation on the other side of that. And I think she has to stay 500 feet away from SAT exam centers for the rest of her life. They'll put her on a list. Jail time for trying to give her daughter an edge. So how many parents are out there right now who have their kids going to SAT test prep, who have their kids doing all these activities, who have their kids playing all these sports because they're trying to give them every possible advantage to get into college, because college is everything. Our country is built on college graduates. No, it's not. It's not. And we need to shift that thinking. And you don't shift that thinking when you have federal prosecutors and judges seriously entertaining the idea of putting a mother in jail for 4 months, maybe for 20 years, for paying somebody off to fix her daughter's test scores. Do you think that is a crime worthy of jail time? Should Felicity Huffman go to jail? Should Lori Loughlin go to jail? She's fighting this thing. And you begin to understand why. And she's still crazy to do it. Okay, because it's open shut case against her. But Felicity Huffman, who has been contrite and apologetic and cooperative, they're going to put her in jail for 4 months for paying a bribe? I haven't seen that happen before ever. And the reason it's happening now, the only conclusion that I can come to, is that the sacred trust of our college industrial complex is under attack. And you better believe these colleges and universities will fight tooth and nail to maintain the status that they hold in our society, because they have a vast majority of the American people hoodwinked into believing that if you don't get a college degree, you're nothing. If you don't get a college degree, you're a failure. You are never going to make it. If you don't get a college degree, you may as well go die. We hear it over and over again. Oh, you know, college-educated Americans and college-educated this and college-educated that doesn't freaking matter. It doesn't freaking matter. Some of the most successful people I know did not go to college because they didn't see any reason for it. They knew what they wanted to do. They knew they could go out and do it, so they did it. And they're making bank. Some of the most successful people I know went to college and have nothing. It was 4 years between, it was a basically four-year country club before they went on and made a lot of money doing something that had nothing at all to do with their degree. You are, if you are a parent and you have a child who is approaching college age and you are looking at that four-year tuition cost of $200,000, let me make a suggestion. Instead of sending your kid to college, buy your kid a condo. Because one of the most successful self-made people I know started out, his dad, instead of paying room and board, bought him a condo. He now owns a lot of them. And he makes a lot of money. He makes a lot of money. And the great thing about real estate, it's really hard, unless you are the president of the United States, to lose a lot of money in real estate. It can be done, but most people can figure out how to make it work. Most people can figure out how to get a steady income off of real estate, and you don't need a college degree to do it. You need to know how to fix things. You need a real estate license. You need to learn some stuff about how business and banking works. But at the end of the day, the bankers don't care if you went to Harvard or you went to Yale or you went to Salem State or you didn't go anywhere. They care about whether or not you can afford to buy the real estate. And if you can afford to buy the real estate, if you can take that $200,000 and buy a condo, live in it for a little while, use that as leverage to buy another condo. Use that as leverage to buy another condo. Suddenly, you have a lot of money. And you have a lot of real assets that can be converted to money. It is one of the smartest things anybody can do. It is one of the best deals that's out there. Because the thing about real estate, they're not making any more of it. You can talk about the craziness that's going on downtown. But that is aside the point. The only conclusion that I have on this Felicity Huffman story is that the inviolate virtue and sanctity of the college industrial complex has been challenged. And we cannot have that. We cannot have anyone daring to challenge the university industrial complex. Everybody must get a college education. If the American people wake up and realize that this is a lie, it's over for these colleges. They know it. They know it. They know that the people stop going. The tuition rates are going to go down. It's already starting to happen. It is already starting to happen. There was a story that came out yesterday or today that Gordon College, which is a small college, President Gerald Ford went there, up on the North Shore, is getting rid of six majors. They're just stopping them. The kids who are already enrolled in those majors will get to finish. But they're not going to offer those majors going forward. So they, already a small college, are going to become an even smaller college. And the reason they're doing this is because they have seen what happened to colleges like Mount Ida locally that just collapsed because they couldn't get the students anymore. Because the days of everybody sitting around saying, oh, I got to get a college education. My kid needs a college education. Oh, my God, college education, are coming to an end because they have priced themselves beyond reality. And a lot of families look at this and say, why would you do this to yourself? We hear over and over and over again about college debt and the problems that millennials are having with college debt. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit after the break. Why did you go to college? Why is college the default? Why is college the expectation? Even as recently as the 1980s when I was in high school, not everybody went to college. Cities and towns used to brag about the percentage of their kids that went on to college. And the higher the percentage was, the better the city or town was. And I think my graduating class was something like 87% of us went to college. Okay, but there was still 13% that didn't. And that was a high number back then. It wasn't the default. because unless you are getting a degree in engineering, Tufts is a great place to go for that. Or computer science, Tufts is a great place to go for that. Or medicine, Tufts is a great place to go for that. Or law. Do you really need a college education? We make our teachers get master's degrees, and this is one of the most upside down things going in this country right now, because the income that you make as a teacher is not equal to the investment you make in the education, and we need to fix that. Not by saying that, you know, teachers don't need degrees. Yes, they need degrees. They need to learn how to teach, but we've got to figure out a way to make that affordable, because all of our teachers are upside down and unhappy, and rightfully so. But everyone does not need 4 years at a college or university. In fact, I would say most people don't. Most people would do better with a year of job training or a two-year program that teaches them the fundamentals of a particular career that they're interested in. Do I want a doctor that's been to college? Hell yes. Do I want a lawyer that's been to college? You better believe it. Do I expect engineers have advanced degrees? Yeah. I'm not letting them build stuff otherwise. But for everybody else, for the vast majority of us who wind up in fields like sales or marketing or retail or manufacturing or construction or landscaping or plumbing or what have you, what are you going to college for? Why is college so sacred in the American life, in the American picture, in the American mind? Why is it so important? What are we getting out of it? Because other parts of the world don't look at it the same way that we do. Other parts of the world, you go to college if you're on a certain path in life. If you want a certain career, you go to college. If you don't want those things, you go and you apprentice. You learn a trade. And you go to work. Not the United States. The United States, everybody has to go to college. It does not make sense. But here we are. 855-915-9636. I give out that number at my own peril because I really... It's just me tonight. I am not in any state to answer the phone. The allergies are kicking in. So I'm not even talking that well tonight. But we will sally forth, as it were. Shea Spillane will be back with us next week. It has been a bad year for the media. It has particularly been a bad year for left-leaning media. Sites like Gawker. Well, they're not Gawker anymore. They're Gizmodo Media Group now. Sites like the Huffington Post. Sites like Vice and Vox. And now, sites like Salon from the New York Post. Salon Media Group, a one-time digital darling, has fallen on hard times. It lost its CEO of the past 3 years last week and appears to be on the brink of a deal to sell itself for a fire sale price of $5 million. If you have $5 million, you can own salon.com. The struggling company said in a Securities and Exchange Commission filing on May 8th that it reached a deal to sell itself to a company called salon.com LLC. This has all the appearance of an employee-led buyout. The filing contained no further info on the mystery buyer or buyers. I'm going to guess it's current staff. But said the deal would only require a $550,000 payment at closing. It said $100,000 would go to an escrow account and $500,000 was already paid as a deposit. So here's what happens. Management walks in and says, we're done. The employees say, no, wait, we're not. We can keep this going. They take up a collection. They form an LLC and they move to buy out the distressed property with the idea that we were going to turn it around and we're going to make it profitable. The remaining $3.85 million would be a promissory note payable in two installments over 2 years. Not a lot of money. Not a lot of money. Okay? If you could get this property for $5 million, maybe you can make something out of it. Even with those favorable terms, Salon issued a dire warning in the filing. Quote, there can be no guarantee that the asset sale will be completed, and if not completed, we may have to file for bankruptcy and liquidation. CEO Jordan Hoffner, a one-time NBC and YouTube executive, resigned suddenly on May 3rd, according to the filing. He remains a company director but could not be reached for comment. The Securities and Exchange Commission is also threatening to delist the penny stock for failure to file financial disclosure comments for more than a year. The company said it expected to be in compliance with SEC filing rules by June 7th, but acknowledged that was way past the 15-day deadline the SEC had imposed. Richard McWilliams, a managing partner of Vista Capital Advisors and the chairman of the board of Salon Media, was named acting CEO. Trevor Calhoun, another board member and a partner at Humus Holding Capital Management, was appointed acting CFO, replacing Elizabeth Hambrecht, who resigned back in October. Neither McWilliams nor Calhoun returned calls seeking comment. The left-leaning website was launched in San Francisco in 1995, staffed largely by refugees from a newspaper strike at the San Francisco Examiner. It went public in June 1999, valued at $107 million, but has lost money ever since. For years, John Warnock, co-founder of Adobe Systems, and William Hambrecht, a venture capitalist and father of former CFO Elizabeth Hambrecht, who was involved in the IPOs of Google, Amazon, Apple, and Adobe Systems, injected cash to offset mounting losses. Apparently, according to a different source, Warnock and Hambrecht dumped millions of dollars into Salon.com to keep it afloat. Now, if you consume online media, you have come across Salon.com at least once, maybe several times. Salon.com is your source for the in-depth think piece about whatever particular lefty topic is dominating in the day. They have a good roster of writers. They have put out some good stuff over the years. But like the rest of the left-leaning media, they got caught up in all of this clickbait, emotionally driven garbage that has next to zero news value, that is based on outrage culture, that is based on the idea that shares on Facebook somehow equal profitability. That is what has happened to every one of these media properties. They all had the same business plan. We get shares on Facebook. We get likes on Facebook. Doesn't cost us anything. All we have to do is post the content on Facebook, right? Right? We post the content on Facebook. People come back to our website and they read our content and they click on ads and we make money. And there were a bunch of venture capitalists that just went around from company to company implementing this same exact business model, which is share the stuff on Facebook, make sure it goes viral. That, my friends, was problem number one with the business plan. One of the biggest problems, if not the biggest problem with the business plan, make it go viral. As if that is something that anyone can do. There is no way to determine what is going to go viral. And I have watched marketing company after marketing company fail in attempting to do this, because you can never figure out what is going to light up the American public. There's just no way of knowing. Okay, one cat video gets 10 million views. Another cat video gets 5. Why do people like one cat video better than the other cat video? Nobody knows. It's just the way things happen to break that day. And so for the last several years, and you've heard me complain about this endlessly on this program, and I feel like a broken record when I do it, even though it is the mission statement of this program, is to cut through all of this online nonsense, to cut through all of this emotionally driven clickbait garbage that has been passed off as journalism for the last several years. If you've been listening long enough, you remember me saying that USA Today was one of the best news sources on the internet, and coming back 6 months later and saying, I don't know what happened to USA Today, but they're complete and utter garbage right now. Don't go there. It's all Kardashians and crap. They were one of the dominoes that fell. CNN is one of the dominoes that fell. Pretty much every quote-unquote mainstream or left-leaning news outlet all adopted this same tactic. We're going to write clickbait headlines about emotional stories. They're going to get shared on Facebook, and then we're going to make money. Didn't work. Everybody lost money. And the venture capitalists have now moved on. The VC guys are out because the advertising revenue never showed up. And not only did the advertising revenue never show up, Facebook turned around and changed their algorithm and said, we're not going to show your stuff as much anymore. We're going to cut off the amount of visibility that you guys have. And that left them at the mercy of Google. And Google doesn't take a particularly kind view of misleading clickbait headlines either. So all of these websites that showed up and exploded and developed these rabid audiences of low information people screaming about things that they don't understand are now folding one by one by one. Vice Media just folded in three of its formerly independent sites into some new Vice thing. We're waiting to see what happens with Gawker Media Group. They just got sold at a fire sale. There were massive layoffs in January, all for the same reason. Nobody wants the product that these companies produce. They produced subpar content. It masqueraded as journalism. Every now and again, some real journalism did manage to sneak its way out of this system. Rarely. But ultimately, people decided they didn't want it. People got tired of clicking on misleading headlines. Their audiences went down. People got tired of intersectional feminist commentary on everything that's popular in the culture. Their views went down. People got tired of the endless argument over whether or not The Last Jedi is a good movie. Here's a hint. No, it's not. The audience went down. And when Facebook kicked the chair out from under them and said, we're not going to refer anybody to you anymore, they had nowhere left to go. They couldn't go back to journalism because all the journalists had left. All they can do now is keep writing their anger-inducing clickbait headlines and stoking outrage for these smaller and smaller audiences that still cling to them, that still follow them. And those audiences are disappearing rapidly. You know who's making bank? All the conservatives who went over to YouTube and started channels. They're all doing great. They're all making money like crazy. And the only thing they have to worry about is YouTube's continually shifting rules about what you can and can't say on YouTube. And you may find Shay and myself over on YouTube before too long. There may be things in the wind and in the works, but that's a topic for another day. For now, there is a lesson to be learned. And I've honestly been waiting for this moment for a number of years now when I could sit here and say the end of the madness is in sight. Because Salon.com is one of the originals. And Salon.com, at one point in its life cycle, was actually thought of very highly. They had a great roster of writers, as I said. And they put out compelling, progressive, and left-leaning content. I don't have anything against progressive thinkers or progressive writers. Some of what you advocate is complete and utter nonsense. Some of what the right advocates is complete and utter nonsense. But if someone is a skilled writer who can lay out a good argument and has good ideas, I'm in. I want that. I will seek out good writing no matter where it comes from because I genuinely enjoy reading good writing. And Salon was one of the better outlets out there. Salon did not produce as much as a Huffington Post or a Gawker Media, where people are sitting around all day long just chasing clicks. You got some editor sitting there looking at trending keywords and saying, write about this, write about this, write about this. And they're churning out content as fast as they can, trying to capture, you know, whatever clicks are available in that 1 hour period. Salon didn't do that. Salon dealt with bigger topics. And at their best, I would put them on par with some of the best right-leaning outlets out there. I'd put them up there with the National Review. I would put them up there with the Atlantic. I would put them up there with the New Yorker. The problem is the business model. The problem is the business model is still based on we need to make this go viral. So we need to make this irritate people. We need to build some premise around this that's going to get everybody worked up so that it will go viral. That was the business plan. Go viral. Go viral on Facebook. We'll get all the money. Didn't work. The ad blockers didn't help. But it was a flawed business model that doomed all of these companies. And it's the same VC guys, the same tech bros, the same Silicon Valley money that came into every single one of these blog sites, every single one of these quote-unquote news organizations, and undid them with this same thing. Hey, we've got a business plan here. You make money by getting free traffic from Facebook and then monetizing it on our end. Well, I didn't count on two things. Number one, nobody clicking on the ads when they got to the site because they'd been duped to get to the site. And when someone lies to you to get you to come to their website with a clickbait headline or misleading content or something like that, you're not going to stick around. When somebody lies to you on a website, you don't keep going back there unless you're deranged or unless you like the lie. And you're certainly not going to click on their advertising. You're getting out of there, okay? What they should have been doing is figuring out how to cultivate an audience and how to build regular readership without relying on Facebook to send everyone to them. They never figured that out. Facebook changed their algorithm. It was all over. 855-915-9636. Don't call that number. That's the number if you need to reach the station for anything that does not involve me. Actually, though, for a couple minutes, I'll be available. A passing this year that is pretty significant for anybody who's alive right now. You will recognize the name. You will recognize the song. And you will probably recognize the important role that she played in shaping the image of femininity in the United States in the 20th century. We're going to hear from her right after this here on WMFO Medford.
$800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Kiss me on a Monday, a Monday, a Monday is very, very good. Or you can kiss me on a Tuesday, a Tuesday, a Tuesday, in fact I wish you would. Or you can kiss me on a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday is best. But never, never on a Sunday, a Sunday, a Sunday.